You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Let's grind. Let's work. Consumer law touches on many aspects of what we do every day. Consumer Action Law Centre has lawyers, financial counsellors, and policy experts who specialise in issues such as unfair contract terms and deceptive or dodgy business practices, like excessive pricing or irresponsible lending. Consumer Action Law Centre provides free legal information and advice and pursues litigation on behalf of consumers experiencing disadvantage across Victoria. Consumer Action Law Centre currently focuses on getting justice for people who have been sold lemon cars, ripped off by insurance companies, scammed and denied help from their bank, or refused hardship concessions from telecommunications and energy companies. Find out how Consumer Action Law Centre can help you at consumeraction.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples, and we pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in from whichever lands you are on today, and we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her, and welcome to Out of the Pan, the last live show for 2021, and this is a show covering pansexual issues, as I like to say, knowing no boundaries of sex, gender, and sex characteristics, or musical genre as well. Although perhaps not with those first three tracks, we opened up with Cold Chisel, The Things I Love in You, from the 1998 reunion album, The Last Wave of Summer. We then had our theme song in full, Let's Cook, by Mental as Anything from Cats and Dogs, and from the very first Hoodoo Gurus album. Well, turn on your radio and listen today. Now, I will later in the show mention the obvious events of the last week and my take on them, which is something I probably didn't think I was going to... I didn't think I'd get near those topics, but I think that extraordinary circumstances perhaps request it. There's lots of ways to get in touch with the show if you've got thoughts on that, or my guest I'll introduce in a minute or in a few seconds. You can get in touch with the show at Salgold Said So is how you do so on Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky or Instagram. Email outofthepan855@gmail.com. SMS 61456751215 and Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and also Out of the Pan 3CR 855 AM Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are very, very much my own. And thank you to Wombat for sending in a beautiful postcard during the week. Happy Festivus to you, Wombat, and thank you for your kind words and support of this show. Yes, so general content note today, obviously the topic at hand being events in Sydney in the last week. But also got to thank Out of the Blue for diving deep, but hopefully staying on the surface today. And very relevant, what a talk about radio intersectionality. Out of the Blue, discussing maritime history, queer maritime history with Graham Willett, of course, queer historian extraordinaire who's been on this program at least two or three times now. What an awesome human, and well done to Out of the Blue for a great year, and all the best to broadcasters who are finishing up on that show as of today. May you swim safely, and may everyone do that in the summer. I have a guest on the Zoom lines at the moment. We are now connected and all that sort of thing. And it is a joy to welcome to the 3CR airwaves, Ren Tumath. Ren, welcome to 3CR.
Thanks, Sally. It's fantastic to be on.
Yeah, and could I ask, first up, two things, which pronouns you use, if any, and if it's okay to ask that, and second, which land you are coming in from today?
I use they-them pronouns. I identify as non-binary. And I'm broadcasting from and living the lands of the Bunurong and the Boonwurrung people.
Cool. Great to have you with us. Now, you have a fan club with one of our, on this show with one of our regular listeners, Roving Reporter, which is sort of, in a way, how we connected and you got in touch with the show. And I just think it's so important that we do, we need law reform at state and territory and federal level, but we also need the work done, of course, at the grassroots, at the community, including local government level. And in a way, that's where you come in. Tell us about that, Ren.
I suppose I started on this journey about 9 years ago when I started running small queer events.
Yep.
Through that, I've met a lot of amazing queer people out here, and I did a program run by Casey Council last year that introduced me to some absolutely amazing, supportive people in the community. And through that, I suppose, I started Casey Cardinia Pride Incorporated because I saw that we needed a bigger presence and we needed a foothold. We needed a place to speak from that was more than just a Facebook group. So we started that off. We're still, finding our feet. And we get a huge amount of support from Casey and Cardinia Council. We're making history out here. We raised the transgender flag during Transgender Awareness Week for the very first time.
Cool.
And as I was raising the flag, the mayor was standing next to me, and I said to him, "Do you know we're making history today? This is the first time this has happened here." And he wasn't aware of that, but he is now. And he and the rest of the council have been a massive support to us out here.
Oh, look, it is so, you know, it is so important to have that support. And when you've got it from the, you know, well, I don't like hierarchy, but it does, the reality is it exists. And when you get support and,
yes,
you know, good allyship and accomplishment from people at the top, it does make the journey, well, it fills up a few potholes, so to speak, and makes that road a bit smoother. And it is so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, keep going if you've got more to add on that.
I don't like bureaucracy. I don't like, you know, the big brother and all of that. But unfortunately, it's a necessary part of society, I suppose, as we live in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't work with that, then we don't really get very far.
True.
So, you know, it's good to have friends. In yep. general, and we have a lot out there.
No, look, I think that's wonderfully put. We do need friends, you know, of all sorts, more than ever, you know, definitely. And, you know, everyone in every way needs them in this time, I think, is a fair comment to make. You know, sort of, you know, I suppose I'd also want to ask, you know, in terms of friends, your own journey. I mean, I don't necessarily believe it's about what age you started at and where you are now and all that sort of thing. But, you know, your own journey to get to, we'll say, the point you're at now, what sort of things, if I can ask, and, you know, you're free to say as little as much as you want, have you sort of got through, Ren, that, you know, has been part of your journey? I think that might be a place to start here.
Yeah, well, my journey, look, in a lot of ways, I suppose it's unique to me, but in a lot of ways it resonates with other people.
Yep.
So I was born in the southeastern suburbs. I went to school as a, you know, kid not having any idea what being queer was all about, but never quite fit in. So at 16, I met my future husband. So I was a kid at the mm-hmm. time. Basically, you don't know what you want and who you are at 16 usually. Eventually, I married him. He was abusive in every way but physical. Mm. And I lived through that hell for, God, a lot of years, you know, decades. And eventually, he just decided to take off. So he took off and I found myself in that time. I think I was in my early 40s when I realised that I wasn't straight.
Yeah.
And that journey took me through, you know, many iterations of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starting out thinking I was an androgynous lesbian. And getting to the point that I am non-binary and, you know, meeting my partner 6.5 years ago and I love her to bits and I don't know what I would do without her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm a person that lives with disability. I was injured in my early 20s, so I haven't been able to work in that sense for a very long time. And getting back into the community in the last 9 or 10 years and just starting to run, you know, more events and realise what was going on out here, you know, because there are queer people in the suburbs.
What? Were there not all in Fitzroy and Collingwood and St Kilda?
Absolutely, yes. But there are a great many of us out here. And I know, you know, at the time when I started my first group, I'd been on a huge amount of very powerful drugs to control pain mm-hmm. from a spinal injury. And that made me put on a huge amount of weight. Eventually I found a great doctor who, you know, and that all changed. So I lost, you know, at least half the weight. I was able to move again. I was able to get out into the community because I was housebound for about 15 years before that.
Goodness.
So you know, it's been a massive journey. And there, look, there are a lot of disabled queer people out there too, which is another shocking point that, you know, people don't realise we're here, but we are in great numbers, whether it's mental illness, physical disability, whatever it is. My disabilities are hidden. You would look at me and never know that I've had a disability. And that's another massive challenge. You know, if someone sees a person in a wheelchair, they'll get out of the way. But, you know, for me, no, I don't get that grace. Anyway, so, yeah, look, it's been one hell of a journey, and it's shaped who I am. You know, it's living with an abusive husband for decades. I lost my voice completely. I was, you know, the little mouse sitting in the corner that wouldn't say boo. Now you can't shut me up. Just ask anyone I know. I could talk underwater. So, you know, and look, I just saw a need out here. Not everyone has that voice or can get out there and do that. And I understand that. But I think those people deserve to have representation and you know, and a voice.
Oh, look.
And we don't go anywhere without that.
Definitely so. And I mean, I wanted to ask about your journey because, you know, I'm sort of putting pieces together here, how that shaped your involvement in Casey. And as you rightly said, you know, the running sort of in joke in transgender diverse non-binary communities is if you've heard one trans story, you've heard one trans story. And that's a perfectly fair thing. Yep. But I wanted to tie it in for, you know, if there's been any, not so much research, but even if it's pretty solid anecdotal evidence on what people in Casey Cardinia need, queer people need in Casey Cardinia, queer and intersecting, I'll say, need, and how, you know, what have been, you know, the ups and downs in you. I mean, you mentioned a good thing, say, in your GP, but, you know, perhaps what else would have made the journey, you know, filled in a few more potholes, so to speak. So there's a few things in there, how it all ties together with yourself, Casey, and overall needs for queers in Casey Cardinia.
Yeah, look, out here we have a hugely diverse population. I was looking some stats up. So over 42% of people in Casey were born overseas.
Okay.
We have more than 140 languages spoken, more than 120 faiths practiced out here, and a massive Indigenous community. It's one of the largest. And look, getting into those populations is challenging. You know, we're doing our best to break those barriers, and that's not easy. So, you know, people can't see me, obviously it's radio, but I'm as white as they come, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, very pale skin. So I get, you know, I think sometimes when I talk to people that are, you know, from different countries, got a different coloured skin, speak a different language, practice a different faith, they see me as, I don't know about, maybe not the enemy, but as that white barrier that they see everywhere. Yeah. And look, I know there's racism out here, but you're never going to get that from me. You know, as I was talking to my GP the other day, she said, "You're colourblind." I am colourblind. I can see colour, but it makes no difference to my opinion of someone. You know, if I'm talking to someone and they're a good person, I've got all the time in the world for them.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it shouldn't be about that. It's about the, you know, the human heart. You know, that's what I always say. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Everybody knows that. Unfortunately, some people take advantage of that. But, you know, you just get rid of those people. You know, they go by the wayside eventually.
Yeah.
And keep those good people around you. And good things have happened just because I do wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I actually feel like I'm being seen for who I am for really the first time in my life, the last couple of years. And that's just an amazing feeling. It's just fabulous.
Yep. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm not, that's not just because you're a guest on this show. That's very much person to person. All the feels, as the saying goes. Yep. You know, so, you know, when, in terms of how you look, by the way, you came up quite easily in a search engine with an article about you. So your picture is on the social media posts for yes. this show, which is, you know, very, very cool. And I suppose the thing is, you know, it's good to feel, you know, sort of being seen for who you really are because you feel comfortable to express it. I suppose the thought that did strike me, you know, you said you had an injury in your early 20s. And unfortunately, we live in, I'll be keep it diplomatic, an industrialized technological society of whatever ideology to whatever degree. Have you been able to return to any form of paid employment? And is if not, is that an issue? Are you able to, willing and able to talk about that, Rhett?
Yeah, absolutely willing to talk about it. Look, yeah. I think, I'm open about, you know, everything.
Yeah.
I believe that not talking about it just, you know, the issues don't get out there. So yeah. We never talk about them and they're invisible. So, yeah, look, I was injured at work when I was 22 years old and basically just tossed on the scrap heap after that. So, you know, I couldn't work in the way they wanted me to work, and so I was useless. So that, you know, look, I've tried so many times to return to paid employment, you know, started businesses. Eventually, you know, my health got the better of me way back then when I've done that. But it's, yeah, look, paid employment is just not something that I can do. Unfortunately, I wish I could, but that's, you know, that's not part of everyone's, you know, thing, I suppose. And, you know, as much as the extra money would be nice and everything, you know, I've taken that, you know, that, you know, knock on the chin and, you know, just moved on, because I won't sit here and be bitter and twisted about, you know, a spinal injury, you know, and other things that come along with all of that. So, you know, just move on and do what you can do. And that's led me to what I'm doing now, which is, you know, it's 100% volunteer. I don't get paid for any of it. In fact, I put a bit of money into it myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fledgling incorporated association. So, you know, we don't have a lot of money. And, look, I love what I'm doing, and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, it's just an ongoing challenge in our I feel, you know, in people who don't fit that sort of 9-to-5 type of world, and I'm being very, you know, sort of diplomatic there in my language, is, you know, sort of just something that I just like to hear about, and, you know, how people, you know, sort of battle that dichotomy and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Now, we've had a question in from...
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry, you go ahead. I'm rushing a bit today.
No, I was just going to say, I did a very physical job, so it was, you know, because I couldn't do that physical job anymore, that meant I was useless, which, you know, my brain works perfectly fine, you know, anyway, that's just the way it is, I suppose.
Yep. Now, we have had a... question in from roving reporter for you, Ren, if I can, I don't think there's anything too intense about this one. Can I ask Ren about the support they get from the local, this is the exact words, political class, especially Brad Batten. These are the words, Berwick is a conservative area and it's challenging to stop the local grassroots who are sadly conservative. Great discussion, roving reporter. What are your thoughts on the 2 points in there?
Okay, Brad Batten. Honestly, I don't know the man. I've had nothing to do with him. So, look, Other politicians, yes. We get a great deal of support from, now I'm going to have to do this off the top of my head, Pauline Richardson,
yep.
Belinda Wilson at the state level, Julian Hill, obviously, is part of our community and we get support from him. Look, the other side of it, no, I haven't had a hell of a lot to do with them. So, I find it hard to comment on that, honestly.
Yep, fair enough. And Roving's come in with one more similar-ish question. People like Shelley Kapathakis in Casey, who is part of the multicultural community and also queer. And you know, have you connected with Shelley?
Sally, yes, I think I have. The name rings a bell. Isn't that terrible? There's too many things in my head at the moment. Christmas and, you know.
Yep, well, I'm with you. Yep.
Yeah, look, as far as Casey goes, we've had a huge amount of support. Miranda Luck, who I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning her name, is our LGBTIQ A-plus advisor to Casey Council, otherwise known as the Energizer Bunny. She never stops. She never stops advocating for our community. So, look, we do have fabulous support at the grassroots level.
Yep. No, this is a really good thing. What would be, I'll perhaps, wrap up our conversation by asking, what would be the blue sky or the ideal for you, for Casey? I'll, move away from yourself personally and say what would be, more things that Casey would want, from your point of view, perhaps is how I'd put it, from the point of view of the LGBTIQI plus communities.
Yeah, look, I keep getting feedback from people that there's a couple of things that just aren't happening out here. And look, obviously, this is just a few. There's so much work to be done. We're right at the very beginning of this journey. One of them's a pride hub out here, and I think that will happen in the next few years.
Yeah.
Casey does have a Rainbow Action Plan, and a pride hub is part of that. So that will be coming. I know people want things right now, but unfortunately things take time.
Yeah.
So we are working on that. And there's a couple of other things, I suppose. What I hear a lot from people is that there's nothing for over 25s. They sort of age out of those 18 to 25 groups, and then where do they go from there? So, myself being someone who's well and truly into their 50s, hell of a lot closer to 60, actually. I've always run events for older people, but we're really looking at doing something for that over 25s group of people next year, because I think they're just, they're having this great time between 18 and 25 and then there's nothing.
Yeah, well, you go.
Yeah, and look, the culture and the linguistic diversity out here is just, it's amazing to see. I've been lucky enough to go to quite a few citizenship ceremonies this year, and it's just amazing to sit there and watch the joy on all those faces when they become Australian citizens. And we have such an amazing diversity. It's just fabulous to see. But I think it's really hard for us. Unfortunately, we have a very white committee, Casey Cardinia Pride. We want to change that totally. And, getting out into those other diverse groups is a big thing for us and the Indigenous community as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to just ask a question about that. I mean, Victoria possibly, particularly in, well, I'm not going to say particularly, perhaps in Metro Melbourne, perhaps doesn't have the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander visibility compared to other states and territories, and particularly regional and rural. It's a question of tell us more, just a little more about that, Indigenous situation as you are perceiving it out there, and perhaps what more you might like to do.
Yeah, look, I think it's just getting into these communities. You know, I have talked to a few people in the Indigenous community. We're setting up, nothing happens this time of year. Everyone's, off with the fairies. Next year we're planning on, trying to get into as many of these groups as we can. The Indigenous community, we've got a large Indigenous community out here. So obviously there are queer people that are members of that community, and we want them to know that we're there for them. And it's, it's not just a bunch of white people, because it seems to look that way from the outside. But, we're just a group of people trying to do something for everyone, no matter what language they speak, what religion they follow, the colour of their skin makes absolutely no difference. They're welcome.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing. Welcome. We see all the diversity. But we don't, obviously, it sounds incredibly basic. I wish I didn't have to say this, but we don't treat
it does, doesn't it?
We don't treat anyone lesser for their diversity. We, take each person as the individual they are, as they are. And if they've got something that the diversity brings of value, we respect that and work with them to utilize it so everyone's better off. Yep.
Absolutely. It is not rocket science.
Well, we'd like to think that, sometimes the way the world is, it's hard not to do. But it's people like you, Ren, out there at the grassroots who are reinforcing these, true human principles and values, and we need that. And roving reporters just come in with messages this time, not so much questions. Great to hear there's support there. Shelley is really fabulous and hardworking too, and has also said, "We seem to forget our out-of-suburban community. Keep up the great work, Ren." Yeah, well, I triple infinite echo, roving reporters' thoughts and feels there, Ren. It is very much people, working in at the grassroots through various services, queer pride groups, housing services, health services, all of them that make a huge difference. And thank you for the difference you make in... well, sometimes maybe challenging circumstances. So, I reckon that's pretty damn good thing, and particularly at this time of year and right now. Ren,
thanks.
Thank you so much for your time on 3CR today. It's hugely appreciated. You have a safe and happy season, a Festivus, as Seinfeld called it. You look after yourself and keep up the good work, and always stay in touch with this program and 3CR. If you've got anything of interest for us, we'd love to chat about it again. You go well.
Thanks, Sally. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yep, and thanks to Roving Reporter for connecting us and the mention, which is where it all started a couple of months ago. Go well, Ren. Bye now.
Bye.
Ren Toomer there on 3CR, and thanks Roving, I'll take this opportunity to thank you in particular for your loyal support of this program throughout the year. We'll have some musics, and then I want to come back and talk about the obvious, so I'll give you that sort of warning now. This one has been one I've been meaning to play for a few weeks, and there's lots of reasons. Paul Kelly, and the track is called from his latest album, which was released in November 70, The Body Keeps the Score. Yes, named after the book. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
I thought that I had said goodbye for good to everything I'd left behind in that old dark wood. Now I'm back in the shade. There's a stranger at my door with a bill I haven't paid. the body keeps the score. I thought I was clean away, but the body always keeps the score. Thought I'd stepped into a brighter day, but the body always keeps the score. Now I can hear that whispering blade of the knife in the nighttime kitchen drawer. I'm standing here so afraid, the body keeps the score. Oh my love, I'm so sorry, you've done nothing wrong. How could you tell? I hid it so well, even from myself. You know I'm a ticking time bomb. A tick, 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 ticking time bomb. I said to Satan, now get thee behind me. Satan likes to take his time. Satan, he don't pay no mind to me. He changes shape into an imp, a little imp, and burrowed down deep inside. Then I beat John's with blazing eyes and cried, surprise, your body's mine. I know the score. Tick, 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 tick in time bomb. Tick, 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 tick in time bomb. Buddy always keeps the score. The knife lay sleeping in the drawer. The imp lies curled up in the corner. Body keeps the score.
You are what you eat, and you are what you eat, and you're even.
Local Food Connections interviews with food producers, backyard growers, and urban farmers. Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio 855 on your AM dial, on 3CR Digital Radio and live streaming on 3cr.org.au/streaming. Local Food Connections, a show about the importance of local food in sustainable communities.
Here we go from dust to dust. Gotta just trust that upper crust and maintain that good terrain from whence you came.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender-diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Indeed. Thank you, Go Kindly, for supporting Out of the Pan on 3CR 855 AM, digital, 3cr.org.au, and 3CR on demand. Well, with around 10 minutes of talking time left on the show, this is where it's one of those things where it all comes together, personal, the broader issues, and funnily enough, what we had on the show today, because one of our awesome listeners, 3CR, including Out of the Pan, only has awesome listeners. Jenny has messaged in thinking of all the Jewish friends in Casey too, especially at this time. And Roving Reporter has come back saying, it's a pleasure to connect me with Ren. Connection and communication is the key, very much so. And Jen's also popped a copy of her letter to The Age, which appeared in yesterday's Age, The strength and stoicism I'm seeing from relatives who've lost family members is extraordinary, as they must appear on television and speak to the media about tragedy of losing loved ones. Let's now leave them alone and let their families grieve in peace, peace, please. And there was an article I read in, I can't remember which media it was, either Guardian or Crikey, maybe Saturday paper in the last week, about letting people grieve properly. I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact source. But also, well, funny, I've been trying to get around to playing The Body Keeps the Score by Paul Kelly from 70, his awesome new album of this year, for weeks, and finally, well, I played it. And this is where, as I say, I have no script here in front of me. I'm speaking, well, from the heart as much as possible. The body can keep the score. Three of my four grandparents sniffed the wind, so to speak, in the late 1920s and mid-1930s, and managed to get clear of continental Europe. My mum's dad and three siblings, my great piblings, if you like, got out of Poland in 1929 and all came here. And my dad's parents got out of Austria and made their way over to the UK in the mid-30s, then ended up coming here in the 1940s. And, well, add in mum's mum, and that's how I'm sort of here. Well, the body can keep the score, because obviously the horrific events of last weekend in Bondi, you know, there's something in there. Now, of course, in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, you could come to Australia and a day times before we were more physically and technologically connected than we were, and it seemed so far away it was safe. And, well, we're in a different world nearly 100 years on. And I don't know if my body's kept some intergenerational score somewhere from my grandparents, but it certainly felt it in the last week. It's horrific. And I think I've stayed away from a certain topic for the last, well, I'll say 26 months, 2 months and 2 years. I'm still not going to mention it directly. I'm going to start by saying one word: nuance. You know, I loved what Wren said about every person is the person they are, and we need to see them in all their, you know, all their uniqueness, including aspects of diversity, and then we'll say take them as that person as best as we can. And none of us are perfect. We've all got our triggers and our jolts and all these sorts of things. And I have been frustrated on a range of issues by the lack of nuance in so many ways in the last 2 years and 2 months. It seems like it's all one side or the other. Now, call me a very old-fashioned, 1960s and 1960s born hippie, if I can put a tiny, tiny bit of humour into this. But what happened, as Nick Cave said, and Midnight All covered, to peace, love and understanding? What just happened to wanting to live in peace with our fellow human beings and not reach instant judgments, possibly because we are not using nuance and our emotions are blocked? And I want to thank people who have checked in on me over this week, particularly in the early part of the week. I am going to say that personally I'm doing as well as anyone could. There's still a sense of shock and disbelief that something like what happened at Bondi could happen. And of course, when it's 1,000 kilometres away, it feels closer. And it's totally unjustifiable, as is any death that is preventable in such a way and other ways. And it's really that gets me thinking, isn't every human life valuable? And yes, in some situations, more lives, and I hate the next couple of words I'm going to use, from one side have been taken than the other, but they're all equally valuable, and it doesn't make anyone more right or wrong because, one side took more lives than the other or that sort of thing. And I think, to me, the deeper issue is that somehow, as a species, the ethics of people in positions of power have been diminished over time, and I find that highly disconcerting. And, it's why I'm going to say why I haven't commented on certain broader issues, and I'm still not going to comment and put particular labels in there in this little blurb, I'll call it, because, as I say, let's just, as Ren said, and I'm saying, let's just take people, you know, let's look at all their diversity and see it and take people as well. And often people say, oh, we talk too much about what makes us different. Well, no, we can't, but we also do need to talk about what makes us the same as human values and those sorts of things. And I just wish we'd get back to more of that. And that includes in the communities, I'll say, that are close to home. I find some of, and I'm going to use this term, the selectively woke attitudes of some people, that the lack of consistent principle and lack of kindness is appalling. Wren demonstrated how to do consistent principles so well in what they said, and then not the case. I'm also going to talk about some personal things that have happened in the last couple of years. My mental health has not been the best. In fact, it's been the worst it's ever been. The body did keep the score, and then it came out, and I'm slowly working my way through it. Thank you to my range of health professionals. I've been fortunate enough to get rapid eye movement, or EMDR to give it its exact acronym, in the last 6 months, which has helped uproot some stuff, as I like to call it, rather than chopping the top off the overgrowth. It's uprooted a particular weeds, although there's still some in the garden and we can't quite get them out. We don't even know quite where they are or what they are. Also, thanks to my wonderful psychologist who managed to track down a free trial of what is called TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation, and I'm going to have to do the obvious pun even in this talk. No, I couldn't. Cis-cranial magnetic stimulation would not have worked. Boom, boom. But it is helping. But I've also had in the last, probably you'd say the last five months or so, some housing insecurity, but thankfully on Monday I have some permanent housing secured, so I'm going to be spending the holiday period, if there is such a thing, while I'm off here, or at least part of it up until mid-January, just before Midsummer Carnival, and that starts, and I hope to see people there, packing up my house of 16 years. There's not a lot to pack, but it feels very uprooting to leave behind Bulleen, where I've lived, and have some connections, although I am moving to probably a more queer, visible, and happy area. So thanks to my friends, my health professionals and generous people and what's left of queer community for helping me out. Very quickly to Roving's last message, what did I think of Josh Frydenberg's speech? He is third generation, so not sure how he identifies, but is it opportunistic to be Jewish when it suits them for political reasons? Look, I haven't heard the speech, Roving. I'll just say yes, any politician can use a part of their identity for reasons when it suits them, and we can certainly think of probably a queer politician or two and a queer advocate or two who can do that. I'm not going to say any more. So I'm going to wish people peace at this time, you know, happiness over the coming 6 weeks while I'm not doing new shows. I've lined up all the summer shows. You'll see here some highlights of a range of shows throughout the year. Jenny's Quickly Come In, Australia's been built on racism. We've had Racial Discrimination Act since the 70s. All minority groups have experienced our Anglo-media and political class have enabled this toxicity. It's a sophisticated argument that needs to be deconstructed thoughtfully. More diverse voices everywhere. Yes, pretty much agree with that, Jenny. Hard not to. And, you know, I worry about, as I say, the people in positions of power. I remain convinced the majority of grassroots, for lack of a better word, people are decent human beings who just want to try to live, you know, peacefully and respectfully with people, even if they don't know every detail. Majority of willing to learn, not all. Anyway, I'd better get out of here. Make way for Freedom of Species. Trev and Betty are talking, in inverted commas, meat propaganda. I will leave you with a song. Haven't played this band in a while, thanks to a certain streaming service who want to send me rude messages. But I will play this song from The Eagles with Bernie Leadon on lead vocals from the One of These Nights album, I Wish You Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next year. Cold winds blow, warm by
heart.